It's time for our Budweiser From the Sidelines segment, of course, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. A perfect spot for that perfect game day snack as we welcome in Fox 8's own John Telich. John, how are we doing?
Doing great. How about yourself, man?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad at all. And you know, I don't think I've actually told you this, but I myself am currently recovering from a torn ACL. So I understand the frustrations of Odell Beckham Jr. right now as he unfortunately will miss the remainder of the season. I have nothing but sympathy for that man right now. But that's not where I wanted to take this conversation. I wanted to look at Baker Mayfield, and you look at some of the numbers when he's on and off the field. Again, talking about Odell here, when Odell's on and off the field, the numbers reflect maybe a better performance for Mayfield when he's not involved in the offense. Correct me if I'm wrong there, John, but things just look smoother when Baker isn't trying to force things to Odell.
Yeah, there kind of has been that assertion by a lot of people, not just here in the Northeast Ohio area, but nationally speaking as well. And Baker on Wednesday, when he did his Zoom thing, when the question was brought up to him about the assertion, wherever it's coming from, that the offense seems to flow better when Odell's not in there, he kind of took offense to that question. He just said it's insensitive. A guy just tore his ACL, and for people to be, you know, that kind of conversation to be out there. But he has to know that it's been there, you know. Mm-hmm. And they do seem to – he just seems to spread the ball around more. And when you have a tremendous talent like Odell, there's that feeling that you've got to get him the ball in order for him to do those – incredible, wonderful things that he can do with the football. And maybe there's times where you just want this guy with this incredible talent to win his one-on-one, and you're going to throw the ball to him and hope for a good result. And that's basically what he did in that first play on Sunday that Odell got injured on, was that he put that ball up there for Odell, but it just didn't seem like they were, you know, on the same page, because Odell didn't really look back for it at the time that it was coming to him. And so on and so forth. So, yeah, there is a little something to that. And but you also have to think, in the buildings of the other teams the week before they play the Browns, they have to be, just like opposing offenses do, have to be worrying about where will Myles Garrett be lined up on certain plays. They have to worry the same way about how our defense is going to attack and try to hold down this receiver with this incredible talent in OBJ. So it's kind of one of those arguments that you can make points on both sides. And the numbers on Sunday certainly did not lie. He was very productive. They scaled things down. You know, he went to that middle of the field. He had a lot of success there. He had a receiver that he has an incredible amount of exposure to, and also chemistry with in Hollywood Higgins, and the results were pretty dynamic. I was very impressed with what Baker did. And by the way, on Wednesday, he was officially named the AFC Offensive Player of the Week. And there were other guys that had great games, but, you know, to take a team down in the fourth quarter and throw three different taking-the-lead touchdown passes in a final quarter, that's really impressive. So I have to, as they say, tip my hat to what Baker did.
Well, let's stick with that fourth quarter for a second here, John. Dare I say we saw some swagger and some moxie from one Mr. Baker Mayfield in that fourth and final frame?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, what he was not just comfortable in doing on Sunday that we saw was how he performed in the red zone. And he had a great deal of confidence in his guys' abilities to get open. And he had driven them down the field in most instances, and they just had a flow and a rhythm to them. And, you know, he finds Harrison Bryant, the rookie, twice in the end zone. He gets the ball to Kareem Hunt down the sideline for a short touchdown pass. He throws, the game winner to Donovan Peoples-Jones and Hollywood Higgins getting involved. I mean, he spread it around. He had that look in his eye. He just has, those are the situations, I think, when he's going up against a defense that he feels comfortable attacking, he did. And obviously the Bengals fit into that mold of being a defense that you want to face every week and can be successful attacking.
You mentioned Hollywood Higgins and Harrison Bryant and some other names in there as well. John, how much has the depth of this team continued to impress you? I mean, nobody that scored a touchdown on Sunday, except for Baker, obviously, is a starter when this team is at full strength. So, again, how do you evaluate the team's depth so far?
Well, I think what you have to sit back and say is, since a lot of those young guys were productive on Sunday and they didn't give up the farm, if you will, for them to be on their team, then you have to tip your hat to not just Andrew Berry, whose regime got the most two recent guys I'm speaking of. And I also have to go back to Tashi Brown. Those, even in that 0-16 and 1-16 couple of seasons there, they did draft Hollywood Higgins, and he had an incredible story, to say the least. You know, he was cut at the end of camp his rookie year in 2017. You know, he was a practice squad guy. It took catching a couple of touchdown passes in week 17 of that year of 2017 for him to even be on their radar to be in camp the next year when Baker Mayfield showed up. And both Baker and Hollywood were second stringers because that's what they wanted to do with Baker his rookie year, let him be the understudy and work his way into being a starter. And because of that, Higgins and he had that great chemistry. But speaking of these draft picks, Harrison Bryant is a fourth-round pick this year. Donovan Peoples-Jones, a sixth-rounder this year. And then Hollywood Higgins, when he was drafted in 2016 by the Tashi regime, he was a fifth-rounder. So you're getting a good deal of mileage out of young talents that were not draft picks that cost you an arm and a leg. And they each have kind of cool stories by how they've been successful. Donovan Peoples-Jones is a young talent that Stefanski can't keep saying enough good things about, how mature he is, how he's been ready for every opportunity. You know, as you all know, he started off in the special teams mold versus getting into the flow of being a receiver in the offense and getting pressed into service when OBJ went down. And so that's impressive. And it's the next man up mentality. And they seem to be they embody that as they've gone forward here, and they're now 5-2.
Is that Tashi Brown praise I'm hearing in the year 2020? Unbelievable, John. Wow. Never thought I'd see that day again.
His team actually brought him in. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? Wow, unbelievable. John Telich, our guest here on our Budweiser From the Sidelines segment, brought to you by North Ridgeville Convenience Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. John, I want to look at the defense here for a second. And two of the bigger names who are starters, even at full strength, that's Denzel Ward and Myles Garrett. I mean, wow, the Denzel Ward Twitter clip of him sliding under a block to make a tackle on a wide receiver screen. I mean, come on, are you kidding me? And Myles Garrett just continues to make big play after big play. But they need some help defensively right now.
They really do. And, you know, we always, each and every week, you'll see how much beatdown that Andrew Sendejo gets because, you know, at his stage in his career, he's just not the player that he was before. I don't think he was ever really a great, great player, but so he's getting beat down. But you just can't continue forward and having Garrett being the guy that gets the predominant amount of the sacks that your team has, or can you keep going forward with Denzel being, you know, just the lone guy that's making all those pass defense plays, if you will. So, you know, between those two guys, they're just incredible talents. And obviously, Ward has a chance to be an all-pro this year, and Myles Garrett is the front runner right now, I would say, for a defensive player of the year. And so, you know, Myles, and he's done a lot of what he's done when he's had guys chipping at him and double teams and all kinds of individuals in front of him trying to protect their quarterback, and he still has found a way to not just get to the quarterback, but to make those game-changing types of plays with the strip sacks and what have you. And, you know, with the rest of the defense, it just seems like every week they're dealing with one or two guys that's banged up. You've had Olivier Vernon hurt a lot. You've had the linebackers with Mac Wilson out at the beginning of the year, then him coming back. You had the youngster Phillipson, who's a great sideline-to-sideline speedster linebacker. He re-injured his knee, so he's been on the shelf. Carl Joseph went out for a while. Ronnie Harrison came in, then had a concussion, and then got back into the flow. There's just been no, you know, consistency on the personnel groups that are out there. And a lot of it is because of injuries. A lot of it is because that's the area they really have to attack as they continue to build this team. They've done a great job on the other side of the football, but they really need to attack how they build this team going forward. And that's why I think with the trade deadline coming up, you know, you may see some moves in that regard to help them there. But it has to be more than just Denzel and Miles. And I think everybody sees it. And another stat in those five wins, Rocco, you know, they've scored 32 or more points. And, you know, it'd be nice to see them go out and win a game, let's say 27-10. But, you know, how the defense is set up right now and the way they've been performing, it doesn't seem like it's really in the cards. And another way, that really one area I think that you could give them credit for what they have been able to do on the defensive side of the ball, that's the takeaway department. They're 5-0 when they win the turnover battle. So they did this past week win that turnover battle, won the football game, and, you know, they probably solved that game away had the defensive back not dropped the ball, Terrence Mitchell, an apparent, you know, easy pick six. If he does not drop that ball, they probably won't even need to have those last-minute heroics from Baker.
Yeah, the defense certainly an area of concern, no doubt about it. And I'm glad you mentioned the trade deadline there, because that will certainly be an interesting thing to keep an eye on for the Cleveland Browns, again, looking to upgrade something on that defense. Because like you said, John, it can't just be Miles and Denzel making all the big plays all year long. John, so that brings us to this Sunday's matchup. They will welcome in the Las Vegas Raiders. How do you evaluate Las Vegas so far this season? And do you still get the itch to say Oakland every time they get mentioned?
Yeah, I do, or Los Angeles and all the different iterations that they've had over the years are crazy. Well, first of all, they don't have a great pass rush. There's times when they play their safety up super high, so there's chances for receivers to get some of that underneath stuff, crossing routes, that type of stuff. So we'll see what way Baker and company go. They're a team you can run on, and they've been a defense that is, just when you talk about the pass rush alone, they've got a fairly talented defensive guy on their squad, former Brown, in Carl Nassib, and this guy has only got a half of a sack so far in this season. They don't even use him even in 50% of their snaps. So, you know, I think they have people that can get after the quarterback, but they just don't seem to be able to do it. This is obviously a winnable game. This is at home. They've had to do, you know, some tough games on the road, obviously, in the situation in Pittsburgh, and then the gut-wrenching win that they had down in Cincinnati. So being back at First Energy certainly will not hurt. This is a team that they should be able to beat. This is one of those games that you look at the schedule, and when you're handicapping wins and losses, this is definitely a game that they should win. So we'll see what happens. The running game, which was okay, I think Kareem Hunt this past week had one of those types of games that he routinely had when he was in Kansas City, where he'd get 70 to 80 yards rushing, and then he'd have 40 or so, 45 yards in receiving, score a touchdown or two. He had a pretty good game in that regard, but they didn't really live, you know, they didn't really kick butt in the running the football department, because I think, you know, you saw how it was set up there in the second half and how he was able to just throw darts and was very accurate with his passing, and the passing game moved very, very well. I think they'll be able to do both this week. You're going to see more rushing of success. And on the rushing news department, a coach said this week that, you know, Nick Chubb's coming along. You're not going to see him this week, obviously, but maybe, you know, maybe we'll get some great news following the bye, the game after the bye. We'll see what happens there, but it would be great to get Nick Chubb back. But this is a game where if you play your cards right and play the kind of game that you're capable of, you should be able to beat Las Vegas. Absolutely.
Yeah, no question. I'm right there with you, John. I think Sunday's a very winnable game, so long as you come in with the right mindset and you match what the Raiders bring physically and mentally as far as that toughness goes. I think they'll find themselves in good shape if they just kind of handle their own business. So, John, that brings us to the end of our conversation this week. Thank you so much for taking a couple of minutes to join me here today. Hoping for a Browns win on Sunday against the Raiders, and we'll talk again next week, man.
All right, sounds good, man. We'll be talking about a dub next week.
Yes, sir.
We'll
yes, happens. Sir. Take Thanks, care, man. John.